Please follow with in your Bible the version that you have. It says that, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Father, we thank you for this morning.
Hallelujah.
Thank you that you gave us a privilege to celebrate your death and resurrection.
Hallelujah.
And the fact that, Lord, 2000 years ago,
Hallelujah.
You did this for us. You suffered and you died on the cross.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you as we read the last words before he left the earth, Father. The great commandment that you have given, O Father. Help us to learn something this morning. And I pray that, Lord, you touch us one more time. Let the Holy Spirit really revisit us, Lord. And Father, today, help it to be a celebration of what you have done for us. We give you the glory. We bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated in God's presence. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. As I get started, I want to start with a light note. Many times, people have told me that I am very serious in my preaching. I don't want to do that. But I want to start with a light note, especially with a joke that was sent. It was a very light thing that was sent to me by one of our young friends here in the church. So children, remember, if you come across a good piece, please send it to me. I'm always in need of good things. So Sandesh actually a week before last, he sent me. He said, Pastor, I think you need to speak this in the church. And I said, okay, let me get the right time and I will do that. So this is what it is. Okay, it's a joke. It's not real, but don't get serious with me. And so it says like this: in order to attract all the members of the church who are skipping worship services by making different excuses, a pastor made the following declaration in his church. He said, to make it possible for everyone to attend the church this Sunday, we are going to have a special no excuse Sunday, which means no excuse. So for that, what are we going to do? One, cots will be placed in the foyer for those who say, Sunday is my only day to sleep in. Cots will be placed, which is beds will be placed on the foyer. Number two, there will be a special section with lawn chairs for those who feel that the pews are very hard. That's another excuse people say. Then, eye drops will be available for those with tired eyes from watching TV the late Saturday night. We will provide eye drops so that your eyes will not pain too much. Though we will also have steel helmets for those who say, the roof is going to cave in if I come to the church. Blankets will be furnished for those who think the church is too cold. And fans will be supplied to those who say the church is too hot. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to list the hypocrites present in the church. So you can write down the names there. And if you think that you are missing your relatives, the relatives and friends will be attendants who feel that you cannot go to church without your relatives. And also they will cook your dinner also. We will distribute the stamp out stewardship, which means those people who feel church is always asking for money, we will give that buttons that say stamp out any stewardship. So no money has to be given. One section will be devoted to trees and grass, to those who are seeking God in nature. Doctors and nurses will be in attendance for those who plan to be sick on Sunday. And finally, this is the best of the lot. We will provide hearing aids to those who cannot hear the preacher, and cotton wool for those who think he is too loud. No excuses. No more excuses. It's called a no excuse Sunday. That's thank you, Sandesh, for that wonderful joke. And I hope our young people think about that and send it to me. Okay? Thank you so much. Let me come back to the story that we read. 2000 years ago, you know, the disciples of Jesus had no excuses. Why? Why do I say that? When you turn to Acts chapter 1 verse 4, it says Jesus commanded them. It was an order from Jesus. What did he say? You cannot but Wait. You cannot run away. Don't run away. Some of our children, we tell them not to run away, but they run away. They are all over the place. They say, don't run away. So in order to say, Jesus said, you have to wait. And you know, the day of Pentecost is the day that is coming 50 days after Passover. And it brings to remembrance the Holy Spirit that was first poured out on the disciples in the upper room about 2000 years ago. So 2000 years ago, the very timid disciples, none of whom stood with Jesus during his crucifixion, right after the event of Pentecost, they started boldly proclaiming the gospel to the people in Jerusalem, the very people who crucified Jesus. They went out and started becoming a witness and shared the wonderful gospel to everybody in the city of Jerusalem. 2000 years ago, the church took a brand new form, and the course of history was changed forever. In the last 2000 years, the gospel has preached to all the ends of the world, because people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and empowered by the might of the Holy Spirit, they went all around the world and they became a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know that Jesus Christ never wrote a book? He never had a social networking account in Facebook or other places. There was no internet. There was no radio. There was no television. But whatever he did, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the whole world came to know who Jesus was and what he had done. Praise the Lord. You know, as the promise was there that you shall receive power, that after the Holy Spirit came upon them, the word of the gospel started spreading out from Jerusalem. It went into Samaria. It went into Antioch. It went into Damascus. It went into Caesarea. It went into Ephesus. It went into parts of Asia. And everyone, the people, started hearing about who Jesus was. This was through a group of disciples who were not literate. They were not the religious people. They were the poor, the illiterate, the unlearned, the cast out from the society. But when God's Spirit came upon them, they started preaching the word. They started being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, Pentecost marks something new in the life of the people. If Pentecost has not made a change in your life, it is high time that you seek the promise of the Father. As God said, as Jesus said, you wait for the promise of the Father. Yesterday morning and evening, we heard the word of God about that. Need to wait for the promise of the Father. Evening, we heard about the upper room experience, when the 120 disciples, for 10 days, they sat, they prayed, they requested to God, and God on the day of Pentecost poured out the Spirit upon all the people there. Hallelujah. Do you know that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, there was an assignment that was given to the people? I want to speak about five parts of this assignment very quickly, so that you understand what Jesus meant by the power of Pentecost. You know, Pentecost, the experience, turned the world upside down in those days. Look to your Bible in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. First, it speaks about power. There are five things that I want to mention about it. First, there was power to accomplish the mission. There was power. Jesus said, on your own you can do nothing unless I give you the power from above. The reason why we are not able to be a witness for the Lord is because we have not received the power that He wants to give us. Amen. We are like a car without gasoline. An engine without power. How can you move forward without the power that is driving you forward? Hallelujah. Do you know that this bunch of unlettered, uneducated, uncultured men and women of God grew the church from 120 to over 25,000 people in just 6 months? It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just like the wind came, The fire fell upon the people. Today also the church has the same power. His power is available today as it is available in the church in the book of Acts. So first is power. Second, I would say the power was purposeful. There is a purpose behind why Jesus said. Jesus said, you will receive power, and what you will do? You will sing and worship the Lord all the time, come to the church and speak other tongues. And No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, you shall receive power and you will be my witnesses. The power was given with a purpose. Many times churches only are looking for the power, but they are not willing to follow the purpose of God. We desire the power, but we have discarded the purpose. We come to church, we receive the power, but we are not fulfilling the purpose that God has for us. As you read about the power of the whole of this verse, we can know that the disciples became a good witness of the risen Christ. So we already heard that there was a power, there was a purpose. The third thing I want to say, this was a priority. The purpose ought to be a priority, and it ought to be the primary reason why the church exists today. This morning in our Bible class I spoke, the church is the only institution that exists to bring people from the outside. Who only exists to bring people into the fold. Every other society in this world is all about its members, but a church is about people who are not the members. And that is what Jesus said. Stephen Covey is a great management guru. He has written a book called First Things First. And one of the chapters is entitled, The Main Thing is to Keep the Main Thing the Main Thing. Many times we have disregarded the main thing. We are after secondary things in a church. The main thing for a believer in Jesus is found here in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. This is a great commission that Jesus told in all the four Gospels. He spoke about the commission. Jesus said, I'm going to empower you, and I will empower you to bear witnesses to me. I will give you power with a purpose. That purpose will be the top priority. I want to just imagine a big plant, an assembly plant, let's say Ford, which has a big manufacturing plant that has all the machinery and all the work people and all the technical abilities to produce mass produced cars. Just imagine if such a plant is only bringing about 50 cars in a year. How would you treat a facility like that? Will it survive? Do you know that when you run the numbers in the Christian world, only 5% of people who say that they know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior bear witness to the Lord. Only 5%. That is 1% out of every 20 people are only the people who are a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must bear the responsibility to be a witness. Who is a witness? It's a technical legal term. In the court, when you are a witness, you speak about that you saw something, that you had first-hand knowledge of a person or an event in question. So Jesus is saying, when the Holy Spirit takes over in your life, you are going to be relating with your first-hand experience of Jesus Christ. How your life got transformed. That experience you're going to be sharing with people who do not know Jesus. That is how you be a witness. You know why few people are being a witness for the Lord today? Because you have not received anything substantial that you can relate to other people. If your own life has not changed by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, how you can be a witness and tell somebody, look at me, look at my life. God has changed my life and God is going to change your life also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is our priority. My brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to you with the love of God. I'm speaking to you as a servant of the Lord. Do not forget that the main reason for the church to exist is to be a witness of the saving power of Jesus Christ among the people who do not know Jesus. When you witness to them and say, look, this is how my life was. This is the time I met with Jesus. And this is how my life got transformed. Hallelujah. When you are living in submission to the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be a witness for the gospel. So I spoke about power. I spoke about purpose. I spoke about priority. The fourth thing I want to speak about is the personality. Here, when you read in the New King James Version Bible, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me. It means the direction of our witness. More, you know, when you say you are my witnesses or you are a witnesses to me, it is a personal, possessive way that Jesus is saying, you are my witness, you are my representative. You are going to be a witness to me. We are witnessing the risen Lord. It's not only that you be a witness regarding your testimony. You speak about who the Lord is. How he came down to this world. How he died on the cross. Speak about the Lord. What he has done in your life. And what he can do in the life of other people. Praise the Lord. Our anchor is the great acts that God has done. And then we tell about our personal experience to give substantial specifics to what God has done for us. Do you know that the disciples, just like Jesus said, they became a witness for Jesus. I want to take you through some verses. Look in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse number 32. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Peter stood up and said, God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are witnesses of this fact. God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are witnesses of the fact. Look to Acts chapter 3 verse 15. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses to this. Acts chapter 4 verse 33 says, with great power the apostles continue to testify that is witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere we see the disciples became a witness of what Jesus has done. They became a witness of the resurrection power of God that can change lives, that can break the captives and bring them out. Those who are chained in darkness, those who are entangled in sin, you are a witness of the great power of God that can change the lives of the people. Look to Acts chapter 5, verses 30 to 32. There is another portion says, the God of our father raised Jesus from the dead, whom you have killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness to Israel. We are witnesses of these things. When you bear a witness, you are telling people of the mighty acts of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are witnessing of the personality, the person, Jesus Christ, who said, you are witnesses to me. Finally, the fifth one. I spoke about the purpose. I spoke about the power. I spoke about the purpose. I spoke about the priority. I spoke about the personality. The final thing, the final P. I want to speak about the place. Where will you be a witness? Do you know that the word of God is very clear? We need to start from Jerusalem. Where is our Jerusalem? This is where you are today. You don't have to catch a flight and go to the remote jungles of Africa to be a witness. I'm grateful for the missionaries who are doing it. First thing, be a witness in the place that God has placed you. Be a witness to your friends. Be a witness to your neighbors. Be a witness among your family members. Hallelujah. We have to be a witness to those who are closest to us. And then in ever widening circles, we are going to move forward till we reach to every man and woman, boy and girl throughout the earth. But we need to start with our Jerusalem. I want you to ask, before you start pointing your fingers, ask yourself, how many am I witnessing about the power of Jesus in my life? Oswald Smith has said a statement like this, the light that shineth farthest shines brightest at home. We need to shine from where we are, and that light will spread all over the world. Praise God. Are you willing to share about your faith? You know, God, you know, there is still on this table, there is still bread. And then there is the juice here. And I want you to understand this fact here. That there are many people from outside who are still not come to the fold. When you look at this table, look at the bread and look at the wine. This should remind that there are more people who are still to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you be willing to share your faith in your home, among your family members, in your job, among your co-workers, in your neighborhood where you live, among the school, in your class? Will you be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ? A couple of Saturdays before, during our family night, I spoke about the Oikos challenge. I gave an Oikos challenge to everybody, and you all wrote the names of the people who do not know the love of Christ. Have you witnessed to even one of them today? Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, have you been a witness to your friends? Some people say, I don't know anybody who is not a believer. Then there is something wrong. We need to step out of our zone and get to know people who are not like us, who are not Christians, that we can be friends and we can be a witness among them. This is what Jesus wants. Hallelujah. Let me conclude it. I want all of you to stand up on your feet right now. We are going to think about the power of Pentecost. I want you all to close your eyes for a moment. As I'm drawing my message to a close here. You know, 2000 years ago, the Holy Spirit came to this earth and He came to dwell in us. So that we can go to places where He will lead us. In Acts chapter 17 verse 6, the word of God says that these disciples turned the world upside down by their witness of the gospel. Today I am calling each one of you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and take the love of God to your neighbor, because that is the desire of God, that everyone should repent and nobody should perish. God will give you opportunities every single day. Can you all close your eyes, please, for a moment? Just close your eyes. I want you to think about, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying right now. This is very important. Please close your eyes and think about what you're hearing now. Hallelujah. God is giving you opportunities every single day to bear witness of Jesus Christ. We need to be sensitive to see who is coming in before you. You need to be submissive to the Holy Spirit. And you need to be obedient that God will take you. And God will use you. And use the words of your mouth to touch somebody. Today, let us not be like the children of Israel, who were stiff-necked and hard-hearted. The Bible says they were stiff-necked. They were set on their ways and they would not hear the word of God. And because of that, they perished in the wilderness. I don't want us to happen. I want us to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling you. He wants to fill you today. We are going to worship the Lord right now in a few minutes. And as you worship, I want you to let yourself before God. Tonight, this morning, I want your worship to be not the normal way of singing. I want you to really get into the passion of worshiping the Lord. And let us worship Him together, because He is the one who is going to use you mightily in the coming days. Every day when you get up from your bed, can you pray this prayer? Lord, Help me to see the open door to share about Jesus. And when somebody comes, let me not be timid, but let me be bold to share your gospel to the other person. Let us begin from where we are and reach out to the people in our area of influence, that people will come to know about the love of God. Let's pray for the power of Pentecost to work in your lives. Hallelujah.